Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews. We're like a book club for people who hate reading. This week was theater picks. We picked Logan, made in 2017. We also did part two of the miniseries Labyrinth. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston. Here's a description of Logan, made in 2017. In the near future, a weary Logan cares for an ailing Professor X somewhere on the Mexican border. However, Logan's attempt to hide from the world and his legacy are upended when a young mutant arrives pursued by dark forces. So, before we start, I do have to compare and contrast a little bit. We here at Real Flicks Reviews were hoping for Old Man Logan, which is a comic book.
Well, I knew that was never going to happen.
Yeah, they weren't going to do that.
They announced the title, you can't do... If anybody's read the comic, the whole protagonist is the fucking Hulk and his grandkids.
True.
Yeah.
You know, so you obviously couldn't tell that story.
Yeah. I mean, so we were hoping for, I was hoping for a little bit more of a post-apocalyptic future than pretty much like, you know, Los Angeles 2050. But overall, I am really impressed how they pulled this off. As my wife said, it's sad. And it's an X-Men movie. It's not like the others.
Well, you know what? Just real quick, this is not a superhero movie.
No. This is... I was really impressed how much I liked this movie. I loved the fact they showed a very... A Wolverine who was not top shape, wasn't top of his game. He was being poisoned to death. I was really impressed. I'll give this a strong 4 out of 5 for me. James?
I'm going to keep it a 4 out of 5 as well. For some of the same reasons, although, you know, that for me, going in, like Ryan said, I was not expecting Old Man Logan. What I was expecting was a finality to the Logan story that has been... butchered and slaughtered and beaten past the point of a dead horse. So something like this, no, she gets needs to get beat like a dead horse. I think this is what I was. I'll actually go out and say this is what I was hoping they would do.
Ryan?
No. This is way more than I ever could have hoped for.
Yeah.
4.5, very, very, very easily. I mean, this was such an actual story. I think along with the R rating, we got an adult story, not just the adult language.
Although it was very strange hearing Patrick Stewart say fuck.
It humanized his role so much.
Did.
And the degenerative neurological thing that he was going through, I mean, those moments landed so hard, and they're able to let those moments sit there because they're obviously not playing towards 13-year-olds.
Yeah. I was going to say...
So I think they really benefited in on this way more levels than people thought. Well, they just want to say fuck a bunch of times.
I thought that was the perfect detail. I thought that was like the perfect nail in the coffin to show that the world's strongest mutant was aging.
Yeah,
and showing the dangerous side effects of having somebody so powerful basically dying. And it was kind of nice not to have the comic book way of just putting his mind in a clone body. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I love the way he died. Sorry. Spoiler alert. He dies. He got the point.
Yeah, Logan kills him.
Pretty much.
The clone of Logan.
God, I was really impressed. I mean, this is probably the best X-Men movie because it's... a little bit more grounded in reality, as close as reality as you get. This guy who has giant fake metal claws.
But the way I look at this one is for hardcore X-Men fans.
Yeah.
People that would understand where they're coming from. Because people that are coming from the X, you know, X-Men,
the two trilogies.
And then you got X2, and then You got the, was it X3 that they went with, or was there a different title? Anyway, and then...
Was it X-Men? Yeah, Last Stand.
Yeah, Last Stand. Thank you. And then, you know, you had the Logan one where he's in Japan fighting the samurai. Well,
because you had X-Men Origins, you had the one who was in Japan.
Yeah, the unmentionable X-Men Origins.
Yeah, and then you had the...
First Class.
The 1, 2, and 3 of the younger Charles Xavier.
So, to go into... Something like this, a lot of people that have watched those and didn't really either watch the comic that was out in the 90s or read any of the comics, coming into this from those, they're not going to – I don't think they would get as much enjoyment because this one is not action-packed.
I actually really disagree with that. I think that all you need to do in this movie was set the rules up, and then everything else is just the human story, or albeit mutant, but point notwithstanding. The rules have been set up throughout the movies. You can be a sort of a passive observer and note that, okay, Xavier is this guy, Wolverine's this guy, oh shit, there's a little clone girl. You can follow along very, very easily, but the rest of it, never relied on the mutant shit or the I mean, obviously, as a fan, you're going to pick up things. You're going to pick up little nods to certain things,
and
flashbacks to different stories. But it doesn't. You don't have to know all of that. It was purposely couched in the mystery. Why they never went back into the flashbacks of what Xavier did, you know, and shit like that. It was all about the characters in the story. I mean, writing.
I would say the mutant part in this particular movie was more MacGuffin than anything else. It was a device to tell the story. If anything, this was...
Well, like I said, you set the rules, and there you go. You have your base, you know?
I would say, as anything, this was more of a kind of end-of-days redemption story. This is the story of the Wolverine who's lost everybody, and he's just given up caring. I'm kind of giving away the story. I liked the fact this was more of a redemption movie for Wolverine, but it seems like all of them seem to be a redemption movie. The one where he went to Japan was a redemption movie.
He's gotten to a point in his life where like you said, like everybody who cares about me dies. So he's lived this life of solitude, kind of pushing away any sort of contact from mutant or otherwise. Just because trouble has a tendency to follow him.
I do love the tie-in to the other movies with the adamantium bullet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was kind of like, I appreciate that, but why tie into that fucking movie? It's X-Men's origin, if you guys...
It's just that little thing, you know, it didn't... The stories could still be there, the execution being shitty enough. I mean, it could still be part of the canon, obviously.
Oh yeah.
But I think this reached such a wider audience. I mean, this was the widest R-rated release ever.
Yeah, more than
Deadpool. It opened up on like just over 4,000 screens all over the world, which is insane. Okay, it beat the shit out of Deadpool by about 400 theaters.
And I
think the reason for that was they actually realized this is going to reach all kinds of people who were sort of passive to the superhero craze, you know.
I do think also this is the perfect send-off to excuse me, the Hugh Jackman Wolverine. This is And this is literally like, you know, the 21 guns salute, if you can, you know, for a particular actor.
Well, and Patrick Stewart, this was his last movie also. This was the swan song.
And yes. I thought they did him justice. If you can do that to one of the greatest characters in comic book history,
when both characters die. That fucked me up, man. Like, really. Like, in just like the, oh shit, what a crazy moment. You know what I mean? Like, and it had nothing to do with all of the extra stuff, you know?
I just want to say, as far as Patrick Stewart and Hugh Jackman, those characters they nailed in the first movies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
oh, for sure.
They're the common thread through all of these.
I would say they were the only ones in any of the movies, excluding the first class movies, that were perfectly classed.
Cast. I would actually and they grew say into it. In the first one, the guy, I forget the guy's name, but the guy they picked for Cyclops was pretty spot on.
I didn't like him as much. I didn't
Well,
think
I never
he was
liked his character to begin with.
No, I didn't think he was smarmy enough and kind of like a super, you know, kind of Captain America guy enough.
For me, it was a really well done role for that one. But
The one they kept screwing up was Colossus.
Oh, yeah.
Until Deadpool.
Yeah, until Deadpool, they got that one right. But, yeah, you know, I'm glad that these two are able to be done and walk away from the roles. And it's not because I'm just tired of seeing them. I'm just tired of directors and that just slaughtered the story surrounding them.
However, it's not the last Charles Xavier and Wolverine movie. But, now that's the thing I think we need to be wary about is who are they going to pick for future movies? Now, hopefully, having the people who were playing at X-Men, you know, first class and all that, they'll pick, was it James McAvoy? Is that the guy who was playing Charles Xavier?
Oh, yeah.
McAvoy was Xavier. Yeah.
Now, hopefully they'll continue.
Was Magneto.
Hopefully they'll continue with those two, because I thought that was basically the perfect match.
Yeah,
it all really depends on how many more X-Men movies we even really need in the first place.
Yeah, thinking we don't need that many more.
They're gonna milk it until James's kid's like 50.
But what I want to bring up is X-23. I think that girl did a great job.
I can't believe we've gone this long without talking about her.
Why I've been holding that back. Like, I want to get on that because she was amazing for the role.
The best scene in that entire movie is when Wolverine got a really good look at her and he's like, oh, God, she's my daughter.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just the little feral nature of her, you know, just this unhinged baby snake, you know, kind of ferocity.
And I love the fact through most of the movie she didn't talk or talk. She only talked in Spanish.
Talk at all, and then she just unloaded on him for a couple of minutes.
I loved that I can't understand you. That whole scene was hilarious because he's like fighting with himself and it's pissing him off.
Yeah.
The other tidbit really quick I thought was really cool, how the comic book had the coordinates on how to get to Eden. I thought that was kind of clever. That was a really good tie-in.
Yeah. And I like the fact that they brought in the James Howlett name, which not very many people outside of that know that he even had multiple names besides Logan or X.
Well, Logan
X.
Was. I didn't think Logan was his actual first name to begin with. His original name.
No.
Yeah, no, it definitely wasn't. It was hinted to a couple of times. I think Sabretooth called him Jimmy.
Yeah.
And it might have been like another little hint to it or something.
Well, he also did have the name Jim Logan that he was going by, so it could have been that, or it could have been James that Sabretooth was joking about with him. But I was impressed that they threw that little tidbit in there.
Somebody
too.
Storming the castle? The hell
I
is
guess
that?
So. Probably a possum. But you know, I think that was a nice little throwback. I think who they cast for X-23 is really great. I would like to see more of her.
Oh, yeah, that was her debut was this movie, and what an amazing job she did.
So
she did.
I have a feeling, and this is kind of a guess, I wouldn't be surprised if we see X-23 and Eden, kind of the rest of the mutants fight back. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see an older Magneto involved in that somehow, or a Magneto involved in it.
Well, they can definitely go into the New Mutants, you know what I mean, and start going there, because I think currently in the books, X-23 is Wolverine. This one I know they purposely set aside from everything so they wouldn't be coinciding with any timelines from previous or future movies.
The hell is happening in our studio today?
Ghost.
But yeah, no, I think they really should kind of bank on an X-23 coming in.
And I'd like to see it more with the same girl. I would actually like it if they waited till she was a little older and play her as an older character.
Well, the thing is, I mean, it could be kind of anybody. Obviously, she's not going to look the same when she's older. It's going to have to be so long because she's pretty young. But I think hopefully this is like a little platform for her to jump off of and start doing some movies, because I mean she's definitely terrific actress.
Yeah,
I don't see them waiting for her. At most they'll probably do another 2, maybe 3 years before they pump out another X-Men movie. Now it could be a new Wolverine, it could be anything. I just don't see them waiting for her to get older when there's so many people they can choose.
I still
want
a decent Gambit.
Allegedly, what's his name from G.I. Joe is supposed to do it. It's still slated from everything I've read.
Well, I want to see something between the thieves and assassins.
That would be cool.
I'll bring up one more thing about the Logan movie. Now, I don't know if you guys caught this as well. I was very appreciative that they did not drive through a fence. That they had to fight with it and then go to the door. Which still wouldn't work the way they played it off, but, you know, I was very impressed when he slammed into that thing and went nowhere.
Yep. So obviously he wouldn't be whipping it around and everything, that's one thing that's always bugged me in movies.
Yeah, you hit a fence and you go right through.
I'm going to continue to give Logan a 4 out of 5. It's not quite a 0.5 or a 5 for me, but it's the closest any X-Men has ever gotten to me.
Yeah. I'm actually going to give it a half a point more just because, you know, Ryan did kind of convince me a little bit on the fact that you could go into this movie with watching the crappy X-Men series.
I do think this
it does translate, and I think it could be a movie that people who aren't big fans because of those movies might like.
I definitely agree with Ryan. I don't think it'll be as good to you if you don't have any knowledge of the X-Men.
Yeah.
But I do think if you've watched the other movies, it gives you enough that you can geek out about it.
Yeah. That would be the only reason why I didn't give it a 0.5 initially.
So, but, Ryan?
Yeah, definitely staying with the 4.5. Obviously, it's not you know, perfect film.
Closest X-Men's ever comes on freaking...
It really does transcend the genre and was able to tell you... an amazing story that would be great just on its own merits without the setting of the mutants or lack thereof. But I like this movie so much. It was way more than I was ever expecting.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a Facebook page. Do you love us? Do you hate us? Is there a movie you'd love us to do? Or maybe news you'd like to give us? Or you could pause for the cause and donate to Old Guy Tech TV to help keep the lights on. The other thing is you can catch us on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and more. So I'm going to hand it off to my co-host James, talking about episode 2, or the final episode of the miniseries Labyrinth.
You know, this one, I gotta say, since neither of you guys have watched either one, the second part was not as entertaining, but they did wrap everything up, which was nice.
Everything?
Yeah.
That's actually kind of surprising, because usually miniseries don't always finish everything.
Well, this one's like 3 hours long.
That's a
kind of nice, pretty little bow on it, huh?
Yeah, which is really good. But I mean, like Ryan said many times, BBC can really, really nail a thing like that. No one would be done, and not drag it on. And I think a lot of the reason why I enjoyed it so much is because, you know, like I said last week, this is put on by Ridley Scott, so there is some good storytelling along with it. I mean, it was the first beginning one. They did a great job with getting you into it. The second one dragged just a little bit, but enough to...
Beginning, middle, or end of it?
I'd say around the middle, towards the end.
So it's about average. Yeah, it's about average for a longer miniseries.
Yeah, yeah. So it's worth a watch, though.
Awesome. So next week is my pick, and the movie I'm going to pick might be a little hard to find, so if my co-host can't find it, we're going to give an audible. The movie I'm picking is 12 O'Clock High. It's a black and white movie. It was a movie that when I watched it a couple of months ago, it literally blew my mind, and you'll find out why next week. And what's the TV series we're doing, James?
I thought you were going to go with the one that Ryan has already seen.
Okay, well, we're going to pick the brand new Netflix Marvel TV show, Iron Fist.
Yes.
Jesus Christ, anybody. I'm sorry for people who actually kind of watch this, and all I fucking pick is, like, Marvel shit.
Right?
Well, fortunately, there's actually a company who's doing justice to comic books.
Yeah.
It's just odd. It's a Netflix.
Yeah, because we're from the old school days where Netflix, you just got 3 DVDs a month.
Pretty much.
Or whenever you sent them back. So them being able to stream and have more money than probably Bill Gates now. Sure, why not?
So, ladies and gentlemen, I gave Logan 2017 a 4 out of 5. James gave it a 4.5 out of 5, along with Ryan. Next week, you're doing 12 O'Clock High and Marvel's Iron Fist, Season 1, Episode 1 on Netflix. And as always, thank you for watching.
Goodbye. Oh,